So welcome to the takeover of Guardians of the Geekery, Gallifrey Pirate Radio.
Are we actually recording now?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, by the way, I curse.
Yeah, so I had it going. I like having B-roll.
You edit, I guess.
Well, Matt's gonna edit. I'm not editing this.
Oh, okay.
I don't get paid that money to edit.
Do you edit out the curse words, or do you just put an explicit tag?
Oh, we
on
put
it?
An explicit tag.
Okay, as long as there's an explicit tag, I can swear. Otherwise,
yeah, you can swear.
I don't
know. Yeah, it's okay. I know it's Sunday morning, but you can swear.
I'm a children's book author. I try not to have my real name on things where I'm saying fuck unless there's a tag.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
I work at the library, so I understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so I totally interrupted you.
But I think that's great. I mean, that is a perfect intro. But Gallifrey Pirate Radio has taken over Guardians of the Geekery, at least for an episode. We are coming at you live from Cotton Carolinas 2016, but we have two amazing... members of the Guardians of the Geekery here with us.
You're talking about them. You're talking about us.
Yes, you guys are amazing.
Because
you guys are putting up with me at 10 a.m. in the morning.
You're putting up with me. I'm the programming director. I'm lucky I'm awake and alive.
So, who do we have here from the
Guardians? You're lucky you slept.
Yeah,
I haven't. Seriously, I'm working off about 6 hours of sleep for the last 4 days, according to my Fitbit. That's exactly what I'm working on.
Does a Fitbit really do that?
It does. It tells you, it tells you how long you slept and how many times you woke up and if you were restless.
Wow.
So, yeah, I bought this like a month ago, and it tells me that I don't walk and I don't sleep. So, it's kind
it's
of
depressing.
My mom at this point.
Just get it to monitor
Although
your
I
eating
have
habits.
To say, I have to say, Friday, I was, working the con. Got here at 8 o'clock in the morning, doing everything. And around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it went crazy. It's like, zzz, zzz, and I'm like, oh my God, it's trying to electrocute me. And I'm like, what is wrong with this? And I looked at my phone. I'd finally hit 10,000 steps. I'm like, oh, that's what it does.
That was the first time that ever happened, huh?
Yeah. And then yesterday, it hit it at 2. And I'm like, yeah, right, thank you.
My husband, before he lost his, was working security at a large con up in Pittsburgh, and it's like, you've hit 10,000 steps, you've hit 20,000 steps, you've hit 25.
Yesterday it hit 20, and I was like, okay, I'll just sit the rest of the con. So, okay,
yes.
So we haven't even gotten to
you haven't even introduced yourselves yet.
Hi, I'm Carol the Cat.
I'm Tiffles.
The technician.
I don't really tech anything, so that's an inaccurate moniker, but...
And I am the fifth Beatle, as I've been told by Matt Star-Lord.
Star-Lord.
The fifth Beatle, Davey Beauchamp. But we have two amazing and incredible guests with us today, which you've already heard their voices, but have not gotten their names yet, because this is utter chaos,
yes.
But it is fun chaos. And we have...
Ursula Vernon.
Yay!
Bill Blair.
Yay!
Woo!
Why is that funny, Davey?
It was the deadpan.
No.
I won your book last night in the auction.
Oh, cool.
I have known Bill for years.
Oh, okay.
And I have many Bill stories.
And you still, admit that you know?
You haven't heard me say that.
You lie, Davey, you lie.
Two words. Match game.
So.
Questions?
Are you seriously thinking that I thought questions up at 9 o'clock
Ursula,
this
tell us who you are.
Yes,
hi,
tell us about yourself.
Please.
Yes.
I'm Ursula Vernon. I, for my sins, I'm a children's book author and illustrator. Before that, I was a blogger, which is how most of these people know me. I also write for adults under pen names. I did a webcomic called Digger about wombats.
Really cute wombats.
I love wombats.
Wombats are awesome. They're stubborn, and apparently they do not go around things. If you stand in front of a wombat that is walking forward, it just continues to walk forward while running its head into you and waiting for you to die. So, which several of my family members tell me that perhaps we share a few character traits, but I'm sure that is lies. I write for adults under the name T. Kingfisher. I do the series Dragon Breath and Hamster Princess. If you are a small child listening to this podcast, in order to hear more about your favorite author, turn it off now and go have your parents explain what an explicit tag means, because you have made a terrible, terrible mistake. It's okay, we still love you, but turn the radio off now.
Wow.
That was awesome.
Okay. Yes. I've given that speech about 20 times, so that one is a hindbrain function.
Yes, there is an explicit tag on this. So, you know, parents. It's funny because at 2:30 this morning, we had a father go ballistic because he couldn't bring his kids into Rocky Horror.
What? How young are kids?
They were like 10, 11. I'm like, okay, first, it's 2:30 in the morning. What are they doing awake? And second, Rocky Horror. What part of that?
Which these days is okay, frankly, fairly tame, well, but still 10-year-olds.
Well, the movie's tame.
The shadow cast
is not.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah.
You mean the audience is not?
No, the audience, yeah. The audience was definitely
I went and saw Riddick. Which I'll see anything with Vin Diesel in it. I'm not saying it was a good movie. I'm just saying that had they tailored a movie specifically to my interests, it would be Vin Diesel with an alien puppy. And
and you knew that poor puppy was good.
Oh, close. I knew it, but
the second they introduced it, it was like, oh.
Yeah, puppy. But it had a lot of Vin Diesel's torso in it, who's my favorite actor. And so I sat and watched, and someone had brought like a 3-year-old, 3 or 4-year-old in the front, and I'm like, this is probably not an appropriate movie for a 3 or 4 year old. Did you see the guy's head get blown off? This is not an appropriate movie for... Well...
Well, when we went and saw Deadpool, we had lots of kids in there because it's a Marvel movie and everyone's like, oh, we'll just take the kids to see the Marvel movie.
And theater people are going, don't do this. This is a terrible idea. Do you not realize this?
Even Ryan Reynolds was saying, don't take your kids to this movie.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. We went and saw a horror film and I think it was The Witch. And there was an entire family behind us with like a 3 and a 4 year old, and the kid was paralyzed with fear. And I'm like, welcome to the therapy room, Mom.
I came out of Kill Bill, and this angry woman is stomping out of Kill Bill with everyone else with her small child going, well, he's going to have nightmares. And I'm like, what part of Quentin Tarantino did you not understand?
It was called Kill Bill. What did you think they were going to do?
Yeah. Like,
they were going to hug it out.
Our rating anymore means that, yes, you can babysit your kids here.
Yeah, apparently so. They just walk them in, sit them down.
I have to be careful at the library showing PG-13 because you can have nudity.
Well, yeah, you can have breasts.
You can have breasts. And that's enough to get me fired.
Well, you can also say fuck once, as long as it is not in a sexual connotation.
And, of course, unless it's Back to the Future, because I never realized how many times they swear in that movie.
Yeah, no.
it's crazy the amount of language in Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. I actually had to stop it because it was getting very uncomfortable for me. Showing that film at the library with as much... but, of course, that was the 80s. I mean, nobody...
Nobody really thought about it.
Nobody thought about it.
Have Bill introduce himself.
Yes, Bill!
We're just talking amongst ourselves now. This is kind of good. So.
Yes. I'm actually enjoying this. It's too bad this is not a Skype session that everybody can see what you guys are looking like here at the moment. this is what happens at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning after everybody's had about 6 espressos.
Yeah. Yeah, my body is put together on caffeine today.
We brought an ox box because you can't trust the hotel little doohickey coffee makers. You need the industrial
strainer.
So, Bill Blair, tell us about yourself.
Yes, please.
Or I will tell them about you.
You don't want that.
And he laughs.
Oh, I think it's always fun to have Davey introduce me because he has lots of stories. We go back years. And
MobyCon.
and the stories that happen after hours that even Rocky Horror would be ashamed of.
Oh, really? Let's hear some of those stories.
This is explicit after all.
A few people at home right now could see how many shades of red that turned Davey.
Wow, so this is now this one time at con. Let's
Yes, the steam, not smoke, but steam from the heat is coming out of his ears.
Like idly doodling.
And other orifices that you're lucky you can't see at this moment.
Woo! So, Bill, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Notice how Davey casually tries to
change the subject.
He's drawing a TARDIS as if he wished one would appear. So he's crawling
on the paper.
Well, I'm putting my next art piece.
You're...
Which is okay. Davey escapes the room.
It's a performance piece.
Yes.
You know, like Davey said, this is Con Carolina. This is 2016, and this is actually my fourth time at this event since, I guess, early 2000s. For those that have not, you know, just jumped out of their chair because they heard my name, I'm the Guinness World Record holder for the most special effect makeup characters portrayed in a career, which basically means aliens, monsters, and other various creatures. But no, not a BB-8, which is what Davey's drawing right now, I think.
No. I'm not sure what that's going to be, but I want something squiggly and wiggly there.
I've never been on Star Wars. I would love to if that ever happened. Well, it's interesting. As I've played some zombies, but I've yet to be on The Walking Dead. But if you've seen Star Trek or Babylon 5, Charmed, Alien Nation, a couple of years ago, a movie called Argo, just a small movie that was made by Ben Affleck.
Yeah, totally small.
No Oscars there.
You may or may not have recognized me since I'm hiding behind all sorts of special effect makeup and everything. But if you saw the movie Nightcrawler, you might recognize me. Or TV shows like Two Broke Girls, Friends, Frasier from years ago, and for those of you that are at least as old as I am, things like Dallas, Knott's Landing, Perfect Strangers, and Roseanne.
Do you think it'd be a shorter list to say everything you haven't been on as opposed to what you've been on?
Star Wars.
And Walking Dead.
Doctor Who.
He started.
He did. He mentioned that. The two things he hasn't been on.
Sorry. You're fine. You're fine.
What you just missed, a small baby just walked into the room.
Yeah, small baby.
Like, I said, sorry.
You remember Allie McBeal? Wait.
But that's okay. She was just breastfeeding. Baby wouldn't have cared. Was already preoccupied. So that's what have I been on, what I haven't been on, mostly is drugs.
It's cool, I got you covered there.
You have been or haven't been? I'm clear about that. Okay.
Take that as you will.
Don't do drugs, kids.
So how many of those roles have you appeared as yourself?
Far more than, I believe it or not, at least far more than actually in makeup. Because the early days, like I said, Dallas, Knott's Landing,
okay.
Frasier, Roseanne, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, Lord.
All in the really early 90s. It's this makeup that I'm wearing today that after X number of years, I still can't get right. But the ones that take only 3 or 4 hours to put on, they seem to come out just perfect every time. But the world record number, for those that might just happen to be interested, is 202 different special effect makeup characters.
What's the longest makeup you've had to sit for?
Wow.
Five and a half hours is the longest, from the point that I sit down in the chair to the time that I'm ready to walk on set in front of camera ready.
Which one was that?
Frankenstein's Monster.
Oh.
That was a little 4.5 minute pre-show that we were doing for an attraction at Halloween for Elvira.
Ooh.
Oh, that's cool.
That was very, very fun.
I didn't realize that was for Elvira.
Mm-hmm. And I have some wonderful pictures from back then of taking turns with her sitting on each other's lap.
Wow. Davey is in a special place for a moment.
Yes, I am.
Davey is wishing so much we were playing Match Game right now.
Oh, Match Game. That was so much fun.
And, yes, if you ever go to a convention like this or any other, and you see Match Game on the schedule of events, and Davey is involved with it, he definitely is a not-miss thing.
Oh, God.
You can talk about Rocky Horror at Night, and what's the one, the big one now, Doctor, what's his name?
Dr. Horrible. Sing
Thank you, Dr. Horrible. No, you will laugh your socks off or any other part of clothing that you're not wearing during Match Game. However, we do put that explicit tag of 18 and over, and it's strictly enforced for Match Game at conventions.
Davey is sputtering, incoherent, and has turned the approximate color of a bee.
So wombats. Let's talk about wombats.
Wombats are lovely animals.
I love wombats. I will buy any book with wombats.
Wombats can beat a dingo to death with their butt.
That does not surprise me.
Yes, they have these large hide and...
Just wait to the aggressive. So we actually have... We have the third guest.
Yes, more guests.
Yay! Yay!
Anyway, just to finish up.
Yeah.
Large plate of like gristle and bone in their butts because they generally go into burrows and predators bite at their asses and then so you want an armored ass for this. But they can also like clamp down and like slam their butt into the roof of the burrow, pinning whatever is in there, so you can get your arm trapped in a wombat burrow by a wombat who is enraged, and they will occasionally like beat dingoes to death with their butts. A wombat rehabber with whom I am vague friends down in Australia is like, yeah, we occasionally find skulls in the burrows.
Wait a minute. A wombat rehabber?
A rehabilitation, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying the wombats are on drugs.
This one time at camp, this wombat came in stone. We had to put him in rehab.
It's a problem. No,
he just kept beating things to death with his butt.
It's Australia. That doesn't even register, okay?
Yeah, they're just like, oh,
the only reason anyone notices that wombats beat things out of their butt is because it's considered a very embarrassing way to die if you're a human.
Has somebody actually died like that?
Well,
okay, if I get beaten to death by a wombat butt, I want that on my tombstone.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
I'm not getting buried. I'm getting cremated, but I still want a tombstone.
Yeah, a marker on this spot. Butt. A wombat beat.
I got squeaky voice. I got Doctor Who squeaky voice at that one.
This is kind of sad. Wombats, because they do not go around things, will cross roads and see a car and be like, I'm going through that car. And there are two problems. This is very bad for both the wombat, who usually does not survive the experience, but also the car, because it inevitably tears your transmission out, because they weigh about 60, 70 pounds. They're enormous. They're solid muscle. So it's basically like hitting a 2-foot-tall stone roadblock, and it just takes the front of your car out and the underside of the car. So the car is wrecked, the wombat is wrecked, but because they have backward-facing pouches and they are made basically of muscle and concrete, the babies almost always survive this experience of getting hit by the car.
Oh my God, so, little baby wombat Batman.
Yeah, so
my
basically...
My parents were killed on the road. I became Bat Wombat.
So the rehabbers have to go around and check roadkill pouches. Like, they go up to the roadkill, they have to stick their hand in the roadkill like James Carey and pry out this baby wombat who's usually alive, you know, and who is just like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but I'm not moving. Davey's dying. And and then you have this orphaned wombat who is adorable and friendly and cuddly and playful, and then you take it to, you know, a rehabilitator. And the thing is, wombats are great to release because they are adorable babies that everyone loves. They are sweet. They love people. You can teach them tricks. And then they turn into teenagers and they're like, fuck you, fuck all of you. I hate everyone. I'm going to go live on my own now. So you can release them very easily. It's not like the Disney scene where you have to go to the, go away, we don't want you anymore, because they've been acclimated to humans. The wombat's like, I'm out of here, suckers. And so you have this adorable baby wombat, and then it's an angry teenage wombat, and you pitch it out the door, and it stomps off. And this is the saga.
Just what
of
you
the
wish
wombat.
You could do with your
so, so basically what you're saying is if we find an unemployed wombat, they'd make a good speed bump.
Yes.
I mean, also one.
And this is just Wombat Daily. Thank you.
You asked! Davey, yes! I've been trying to cover for Davey, who was, you know, stammering and turning scarlet.
And drawing because he doesn't know what to
so
say.
So did you
actually,
write
he's
stories?
He's going beyond scarlet in the color of Carol's hair.
The purple wings.
Yes, which is a lovely shade.
Thank you. Yeah.
Did you learn about wombats in the writing of your story, or
yes,
you already had an interest, a keen interest in
I
wombats?
I thought the word wombat was cool, and I was trying to think of what to draw one day, and I was sitting there doodling and nothing was coming to me, and then I had the TV on and I was watching Crocodile Hunter, and at that moment a wombat took this big chunk out of Steve Irwin's leg and he was like, oh, what a beautiful wombat, and there's blood everywhere, and the wombat's like and stomps off.
Wombat.
Yeah, it was the grumpy teenage
you.
Wombat. Yeah, and so Steve Irwin is delighted and bloody, and the wombat is just, you know, surly And the cameraman is running frantically in front of this wombat, getting a stomp, stomp, stomp. And I'm like, oh, hey, good, I'll draw that. It just fits Steve Irwin. And I love Steve Irwin. I'm sad that his ultimate fate, because
yeah,
he was clearly a man who loved what he was doing. He loved all of God's creatures.
Right up until the end.
Yes, and he probably loved it. He was going, what a beautiful stingray as he went down. That was... You know, so
Frankie, that was a great thrust.
Yes, God love him.
So we're gonna have to let Ursula go.
Yes, I gotta run off to another thing.
So,
but
what is your next project?
Yeah. I'm writing the Hamster Princess series for 8 to 12 year olds. It has lots of glitter on it. It is from Penguin Books. You can find it at Barnes & Noble. There will be 6 books in the series. It's a warrior hamster princess who rides a quail into battle.
I won the advanced copy last night at the auction. So,
or check them out at your local library.
That's right.
Yes, at your local library would be an excellent place. Yes. If you ask at the library, they will. You can just. They're librarians. They have superpowers. You can go in and be like, it was a book. I think there was like a rodent, and they were like a warrior.
And glitter.
And glitter. And yeah, and it was about this big and like pink. And Davey will be like, oh, yeah, I know.
Yes, I know what that is, because we are going to be ordering everything. As soon as I come in, go to work on Monday, I'll be like, order all of this stuff.
Yay.
And bring it upon us.
Thank you, radio listeners, for listening. I will leave you to the fascinating Bill Blair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ursula.
Yes.
Go easy on Davey. His heart's weak.
It is this weekend.
So, Bill, what's next on your horizon?
Long airplane ride.
Are you based out of Los Angeles?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I've got a couple movies coming up later this year, which are still in negotiation, so there's nothing really I can talk about, unfortunately, with those.
Is it Star Wars? Oh, look at that smile. It's Star Wars. Isn't it Star Wars?
If only, no.
Or The Walking Dead.
There is, for those that like to go to the theaters later this year, a Will Ferrell movie called A House That I'll Be Peering In, and next year another Ben Affleck movie called Live by Night that they just finished shooting that I've worked on.
Is he directing that one?
I'm sorry?
Is he directing
yes,
that one?
Yes, he is. A lot of the same crew that did Argo. So it's very, very nice to see all those people.
What is it like working with him as a director? We're so used to him being the actor.
He, to me, is really the actor's director, like Clint Eastwood. He's been on both sides of the camera extensively. He understands it, same as Tom Hanks. It's a really wonderful atmosphere. It's organized. It's detailed. And... what I like, it was funny about Argo with Ben, because Ben understands it's really stupid to have somebody ask another performer a question, and because they're not technically a principal actor, they're not allowed to respond. It's like somebody walking up to the bar to order a drink, and the bartender has something to say, and then, you know, what will you have, and the guy ordering the drink can't answer him. You know, and that's the way, you know, some of the things in Hollywood work, between whether you're hired to actually speak a line or if you're just hired as the background actor or what most people understand as the extra. And so Ben was what we call upgrading a lot of people on the set of Argo to the point where his fellow producers and everybody said, we can't do this anymore, even though the movie made tons of money.
Yeah.
But you don't know that at the time. So you do have to stay within certain constraints of your budget. But just to give you a kind of a ballpark, by the time they finally decided, no, we can't do this anymore, the cast of Argo had grown to 140.
Wow.
And they literally had everybody's credits on the screen as it went. If you go back and look at the movie Argo, the cast list goes on forever. But it was nice because it really made sense. Everything he did as an actor's director made sense. To not have these holes. And I believe that that's what makes a successful film. It's great to stay on budget and everything, but if you do some things, it's like, why is that guy not answer him? You know, it's just little things like that. So I've also got my own production company now called Nova Star Pictures, and hopefully we'll be doing something with that in the near future. We've got projects in development there. which the focus is science fiction, fantasy, and horror.
Awesome.
Nice.
One called Temporal Angel, which we know Gene Roddenberry did Star Trek as like Wagon Train to the Stars. Temporal Angel, if I could put it simply, would be like Lone Ranger in space, which is kind of fun. Another one that's very geek-minded, American Pie, Friday the 13th, and all sorts of things mixed together, called Monster Graduation Weekend.
Oh, nice.
That sounds fun.
Has lots of possibilities that we're working on there. And a new one, I've just, we've got a concept working, the script comes, story comes next, called Twilight Hotel.
Oh dear, do the vampires sparkle there?
you don't know what goes on at Twilight Hotel. What happens on the other side of that door?
Match game.
I'm intrigued.
Match
game. I'm
intrigued.
I'm looking forward to seeing this.
Okay, well we're gonna release Bill to the wild like a
Pokemon.
Well, I was gonna say Teenage Wombat.
Oh,
oh, I'm a speed bump. Okay.
And we're gonna bring in our
third. I can
third
lay down and let people walk and run all over me.
We're gonna
can I say thank you for having me?
Absolutely. No, I'm not kicking you out right now. If you want to stick around, we'll bring in This Way to the Aggressive. We'll just keep talking.
Oh, I'm gonna let them have the spotlight. Let them have fun. Let Davey come up with something that can embarrass them. As I do very good. It's really sad. I mean it again. If this was a video Skype session,
Oof.
You folks would come up with all new shades of red that Davey invents in his face.
Yes. But honestly, I got to say, it's always a pleasure when our paths cross, because we always know we're going to have fun together.
Yes. It was kind of interesting even around I call it around town at conventions, because you're always passing people in the hallways and in the rooms and the panels and everything else. The convention is like its own little small city for a weekend.
Yeah.
And Davey and I have visited many a bar on convention nights in town. And if you're around and Davey and I are at the same event, latch on, follow us.
Yeah.
I guarantee you a good time.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Oh, it's a pleasure,
thank
sir.
Bye. Thank you very much.
Okay, so now we have This Way to the Aggress, Sarah and Taylor from This Way
to
the Aggress.
A couple of the members.
Yes, because I know there's more of you.
There are.
From This Way to the Aggress, which is our musical guest of honor here at Con Carolinas 2016, and a really, really wonderful band.
Oh, thank you.
What's freaking me out, she has the exact same cup Ursula had.
Do you like wombats, too?
I actually, while she was going on about the story, I'm like, I need to Google this.
I know. I wanted to Google the Steve Irwin gets bit by a wombat.
I know. I never heard about that. Because actually, the funny thing is, when I have to sub in for story time, there's a book called Diary of a Wombat by, I forget what the author's first name is, but last name's French, and I love telling that story. But everything she was saying about wombats is in that story, except for the whole, the bony butt thing, and like, biting people, and just like... I'm a wombat. I am not going to move until you die. I was just like, man, that adds a whole new level to that kid's storybook.
So tell us a little bit about yourselves, how the band formed. You're a steampunk. Do you consider yourself a steampunk band?
I think we consider ourselves non-genre specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, people constantly are saying, what do we call your music? And we're like, let us know.
Call it music.
Yeah.
Call it awesome, because that's what it is.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But we just try to not, we just write whatever, we all have different influences, and we just kind of pull them together, and, you know, I guess it's the melting pot of music.
And how many people are actually in the band?
Six.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have, like, a variety of instruments. It's not a standard... guitar and drums.
We've got the total lineup would be accordion, piano, violin, guitar, electric guitar, banjo, trombone, tuba, and drums.
Now that's more than six instruments, but she plays violin and keys, and then Jacqueline is guitar and banjo.
Yeah.
So you play the accordion.
I do.
Right. Yes.
And I have to say, I was doing the auction last night, and you guys did the parade, and we actually all stopped in the auction, like, that was a happy interlude. It was really nice, so thank you for coming to Con Carolinas this year. I saw you guys at Dragon Con last year, and I was
we really
kind of need to get these guys here. Just
cool.
We hope you've had fun.
Oh, we have. Everybody's been super sweet, and it's been a really nice day.
So when did the band form?
2008.
Yeah, it'll be 8 years this September.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
And do you tour like regularly, or do you just do conventions, or do you have like a?
I think it's better that we travel regularly. Yeah. We've done like 6 to 8 tours.
Yeah, I mean, every time we release something new, we do a tour, but we do regionals and like weekends and you know and whatnot. So we spread ourselves around, for lack of a better way to say it.
And how many albums have you released?
3 full lengths and 3 EPs. So, and we're actually getting ready to write. Well, we started writing our 4th.
Yeah.
So hopefully this time next year we'll be releasing our 4th full length album.
Cool. That's really awesome.
Yeah, it's all DIY. We don't have an agent or a manager. We just kind of.
Do you deal with a production studio, or do you just kind of do that on your? Wow, you just.
Well,
do that.
We up until our last album, we did all of the
the
recording on our own.
Yeah, we worked with one.
Yeah, but we've got to a point where Taylor and I were like sick of wearing all of the hats.
I mean, we were doing it all in our own studio.
Yeah.
Where I was running back and forth, like okay, guys. I press record, I run back to the instrument
it was like,
play, and I'm like, wow, we messed up, and I have to go back.
And then we had a friend who would mix it, and then we'd send away to have it mastered,
yeah.
Which is like mastering, if you're not familiar, is like what makes it all like loud enough to be on the radio or like
right.
in a film, so there wouldn't be like all of a sudden this lo-fi drop.
But
our last album, we were like, we just want to be musicians for this process, so we went to a producer, and we're shopping around for a new producer for our upcoming album, actually.
I mean,
think there'll be any more of that.
We prefer to just be playing.
Yeah.
That seems like that would be really difficult.
Well, it's also hard to get perspective. You know,
yeah.
as a creator or an artist, you can't see it from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you get emotionally like caught up in it, and you're not quite sure. And like sometimes you need that, somebody who's not emotionally connected to the music to kind of say, hey, what if you tried this here?
Yeah,
there's a little too much going on there, you know?
And the rest of the band members kind of get biased, too, because we're all emotionally connected. So we're like, well, what do you think? And they're thinking from their perspective, but they're still in the band. So when you have a producer, they're like, well, why don't you do this, who's not connected? And then you're like, it's like a...
And, of course, you pay them thousands of dollars, and then the band listens. Some
right.
members
That's
of the
true.
Band say for years,
That's
we
true.
Should be respecting negative space, and nobody wants to hear it. But when you go
right.
to a producer, you pay thousands of dollars, and they say, you know what, you guys should respect negative space. All of a sudden,
everyone's
like,
saying it now.
This is a brilliant idea. Like, okay, well, not going to say I told you so.
So I know that you all have different influences in the band, but do all of you write, or is a couple of you primarily responsible for
Mainly
writing?
It's Sarah and I writing. I write a lot of the music, and I attempt to write the lyrics, and sometimes I'll bring to her and say, can you help me with this chorus? It's very collaborative.
And then I'll just like write songs and kind of bring it in the band and say, but
right.
actually with the last EP, we're doing an EP called Songs from Tin Can Alley. And it was just like something for us to hold ourselves over in between the full-length album process. And what we do is we basically just hang out at our house for the weekend, and I cook a bunch of food, and we set up a room mic, and we all collaboratively write 3 songs and record them, like, in 2 days. We just,
yeah.
like, bang it out,
oh,
write
wow.
the stuff. But it's all, like, old-timey and lo-fi. It's a little bit different than our full sound. It's kind of, you know, it's just fun for us. It's more of a singer-songwriter thing. And through that process, we've been writing songs from scratch as a 6-piece, and it's been working out pretty well, so I think that we might actually try some of that as well in the new album, where we all get in there and are kind of like, okay.
And that's a lot different, because we're all 6 of us sitting in a room, and we're like saying, okay, here's the line, what should we say next? So you've got 5 other people giving you lines. It's a lot to organize, but
yeah.
it's fun.
The music
it's
always comes together
great
better
exercise.
Than the words.
Yeah.
I see, that's kind of more intuitive.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, totally, totally.
Do you find yourself having trouble finding places to play because you're not a standard band?
You know, it's funny that you say that. That's the reason why we haven't really worked with, like, a booking agent or anything yet, because we've been, for 8 years... See, the great thing is that this community, you know, is... a lot of it is DIY. So we just started, like, finding other bands that were in a similar vein and saying, hey, can we play a show? So we really kind of have a pretty good idea of where to fit us, and clubs and bars and pubs and conventions all over the country that we know, you know, would be receptive to what we do. And a lot of industry people that we've talked to are kind of like, I'm not really too sure I would know what to do with you. And we're like, well, we kind of know, so don't worry about
it,
you know.
Sometimes we've found a few managers, like booking agent type, that would say, we're going to put you here. And right away I was like, that's not our audience. So we kind of have words, and it always falls back on us because we're like, well, we know where to go. There's a couple booking agencies that I've looked into that deal with bands just like us.
Or similar.
So we write those places.
But, you know, overall, our demographic goes from, like, young children to, like, you know, elderly. So we've really, like, we can cater our set to play in, like, a pub. Like, we played two tours ago, or no, in 2013, actually. We toured through Asheville. And,
did you do the Green Man?
We didn't. We didn't. We actually, the last time we played there, we played the Crow and Quill, which is probably where we'll end up this fall when we come through the area again. But in 2013, we played, what was that?
Jack of the Woods.
Yes, Jack of the Woods. Yes. And it was like a trivia night. And so we're all like, awesome. We got into town early, so we're just as a band, we're playing trivia, and they're like, what is it, your trivia name? And we're like, oh, how about we make our name This Way to the Egress, who will be playing on this stage right after trivia, don't leave. So every time they named our team name, they'd have to say, and This Way to the Egress, the band on tour that will be playing right on the stage right after trivia, just stick around. And, but we were worried we were going to lose our audience, because it was a pub crowd. It wasn't like people that were coming out for an event. And we knew that if they just got a taste of what we did, they wouldn't leave. So we, similar to what you saw us do yesterday, we set up and then we went outside and we paraded into the venue as trivia was ending. And it was like, we probably retained 90% of the crowd, and they were all like, what is this? This is great. So we can kind of like throw ourselves anywhere, really, I think.
So did you win the trivia?
We didn't. I think we crept up towards the end.
And all of a sudden we got to like third or second.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I like knowing those sorts of things.
It was a bit of a comeback. Yeah. So, yeah. Just a triumph. Where are you guys based?
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Our tuba player is from Brooklyn, so he commutes. Our drummer we're working with right now is also in Brooklyn.
Yeah. But the drummer we're training to take his place is from Bethlehem.
Yes.
We've been in between drummers on and off. So, which is... been a challenge, but yeah. Greg's been great, our current drummer. He learned an obscene amount of songs in a short period of time, and they're not easy parts, and he's been killing it. So we've been grateful for that.
Is the person who drummed last night your new drummer or the old
He's
drummer?
Been with us. He's replaced our drummer in November.
Okay.
Well, our previous drummer left in November. Greg came on board in February. And he's committed until November, or until we find somebody to take his place, because he has other engagements and stuff. He's really enjoyed, we've all gotten along great, but he's, you know, considering maybe moving back home, and he's in other projects, and he's not quite sure where he wants to land, so he didn't want to give us a commitment since we've all, like, signed our name in blood to this project. I think he was kind of like, well, I'll give you a couple of months, you know, see how it goes, but...
Well, you guys are great last night.
Thank you.
It was the first time I'd ever heard you, and I really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
It was very exciting.
So yeah, I saw him at Dragon Con, and I immediately like went and bought CDs. Or DVDs. I was like, I need all of this music now. And then I need you to come to my con. So
is your Asheville gig in the fall the next time you'll be in this area?
Yes, we don't have anything specifically booked, but we're booked in Texas in November, so usually when we're booked that far from home, we do a tour around it. So we'll most certainly come through probably Asheville. It's normally where we play when we're down here. We have contacts and friends, or Greenville, maybe even with Crystal. So that would probably be, you know, late October, early November in that time frame, which all could be found on our website.
Yeah.
Which is?
thiswaytotheegress.com.
And simple egress enough. Is spelled E-G-R-E-S-S.
Yes. Not the bird.
Well, which is
We've
egress.
Had people say, egress. What's an egress? We're like, egress.
And where did you get the name?
It's from P.T. Barnum, actually. In the beginning, I was like really obsessed with like 1800s freak shows and all that stuff. And I learned that phrase, this way to the egress, that P.T. Barnum would put a sign that had an arrow that said this way to the egress above all of his doors in all of his freak shows. And they would go through and like, oh, I wonder what this egress is. And it was just the exit. And then they'd find themselves outside and then have to pay to get back in.
But when we started out, we were kind of a circus. We had sideshow and burlesque, and there was a huge troupe of us. And over the years, we kind of decided to just focus on the music. So we've kind of dropped a lot of that. But the name still rung true because life in itself is kind of a circus, so...
And of all the bands I've ever been in, it's the one band name that's been misspelled the most.
Yes.
And the best one was said, we were on a compilation, and they took out the T, so it said, his way to the Eagles.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
Check out their website, because when you come back, I'll make a trip to Asheville to see you guys.
Great.
I think
great.
You're awesome. And thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's been great.
Yeah. And
he brought a banana to the party. Doctor Who reference.
And of course, Davey's got to throw a Doctor Who reference.
Have to.
So we're going to sign off now. This is Carol the Cat. This is Davey doing the Starnes Lord Giddy Geeker thing.
Yes.
And Tiffany, yeah.
such a race.
And you thought you were going to be the one that was low energy.
Ah, I am low energy.
Yo!
I'm not recording and I'm going to puddle into it. And halfway through this, you can't see this, halfway through this, my bra strap broke. So I'm literally asking a question of Bill Blair and went pop.
And actually, that's really appropriate that is when it popped.
I'm like, okay, so we're going to tidy up now. I'm going to go back to my room.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Goodbye.